Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 42 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
He did try to justify his actions through this note.
A Moorhead State University student is the sole survivor of a murder spree in Johnson County.
Police in Lexington are investigating a homicide.
Rowan County churches are forming safety teams within their congregations.
More rain is expected this week, but no flooding is expected.
A bill has passed the State House that would allow homeschooled students to take part in organized sports.
In sports, the Moorhead Statesmen's basketball team is dealing with another tough loss.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 27 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University student was able to escape a murder spree in Johnson County over the weekend. Officials say a 911 call Saturday afternoon led them to a home on McKenzie Branch in the Flat Gap community. There, the bodies of Arlene and Wayne Nickel were found. Later, Lindsay Vanhoos and her mother, Patricia Vanhoos, were found dead inside an apartment in Paintsville. Police say the shooter, Joseph Nickel, took his own life after committing the murders. Johnson County Sheriff Dwayne Price says Nichols' son was able to escape the massacre.
We did consider him to be armed and dangerous. I feel that if he had ran into anybody and they'd have tried to stop him before he got to wherever he was going, it could have been a bad situation.
All five bodies have been sent to the state medical examiner's office for autopsy. No funeral arrangements have been announced.
A Lawrence County couple will spend time behind bars for their role in a Medicaid fraud scheme. Attorney General Andy Beshear's office made the announcement today. 49-year-old Kevin Gause and 47-year-old Janice Gause, both of Louisa, pled guilty on February 9th. Officials say the couple fraudulently billed Medicaid nearly $10,000 by claiming a physician was performing services when no physician was present at the Tri-State Family Medical Center in Louisa. They also obtained controlled substances, hydrocodone and oxycodone, through forged prescriptions. WYMT reports Kevin Gause also billed Medicaid more than $7,000 for office visits when patients were not present and forged prescriptions for controlled substances. Both pled guilty on several charges, including fraud, forgery of a prescription, unauthorized dispensing of a controlled substance, and unauthorized procurement of a controlled substance. Sentencing for the couple is scheduled for March 9th at 10 a.m. in Lawrence Circuit Court.
The Fayette County Coroner and the Lexington Police Mobile Crime Lab are at a home on Leslie Drive in Lexington, where a woman was found dead in her driveway this morning. According to LEX 18, Lexington police originally said that it appeared the woman may have fallen and frozen to death. The coroner is now saying that her death is being investigated as a homicide.
Churches throughout Rowan County are forming safety teams within their congregations. The teams are trained to respond to any type of situation, including medical emergencies and active shooters. Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks says team members will also be on the lookout for possible domestic disputes.
Procedures in place so that a parent drops their child in Sunday school that particular morning, that someone doesn't pick that child up from that Sunday school who's not supposed to pick the child up.
There are over 30 churches in Rowan County with congregations ranging from 20 people to over 1,000.
Flooding brought on by heavy rains is still affecting many eastern Kentucky communities. Harlan County declared a state of emergency on Saturday night. Areas near the Cumberland River were evacuated and several shelters were opened. Paul Maynard is the public safety director with the city of Pikeville. His city raised a flood wall near the river after they received 3 inches of water in less than 24 hours.
Like I said, I've been fighting it for 15 years, so I want to know why it's going to be another 10. That's 25 years.
At least one home was destroyed in Perry County after it burned to the ground. Officials say floodwaters blocked fire crews from reaching the property. Landslides also blocked roads in Laurel and Bell counties.
More rain is expected through the end of the week. David Schallenberger, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Jackson, forecasts another handful of weather systems moving in.
We have numerous systems coming through Wednesday and Thursday, and then a system moving through on Thursday night will actually put down another 3/4 of an inch of rain over the Bluegrass area, or including Rowan County and Moorhead area.
Schallenberger says those systems shouldn't contain a dangerous amount of precipitation. He notes temperatures should remain consistently mild for the next week or so.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Homeschooled children in Kentucky who want to take part in state-sponsored interscholastic sports are a little closer to being able to do so. The State House has passed a bill allowing that practice and has sent it on to the Senate. Under it, homeschooled children could take part in athletics as a team or as individuals as long as they and their coaches meet certain requirements. Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore says he's okay with the proposal.
These parents, they pay taxes, and those kids, anytime a kid can get an opportunity, of course, I know parents make that decision to homeschool, but I always feel like anytime a student can or a kid can get an opportunity, well, why not afford them that opportunity as long as it doesn't affect the public schools? And I don't think this would have a great impact on public schools.
The measure would not permit homeschooled kids to participate in sanctioned conferences or tournaments or be eligible for state-sponsored championships. The bill was sponsored by Republican Representative John Carney of Campbellsville.
A bill creating peer review practices in the Commonwealth passed the House on Friday on a 58-27 vote. If passed, the House Bill 4 would create a system of accountability between medical providers, a practice currently active in 48 other states, according to Spectrum News. Democrat Representative Chris Harris voted against the bill, saying that it hurts citizens.
This bill sets aside one group of people, one industry, and says the rules don't apply to you. You're special. You are special, unlike the rest of the country. So that's not fair. That's not what America is about.
The bill is sponsored by Republican Representative Adia Wushner. She says the bill would allow medical professionals to have confidential conversations like those in every other business field. The bill now heads to the Senate floor for consideration.
House Resolution 620 is going before the House, and it may not be as it appears. That's according to Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund senior policy analyst Marilyn Golden. Proponents of the ADA Education and Reform Act of 2017 say the bill is supposed to give accused businesses a grace period to fix alleged infractions on their properties before they are subject to litigation, which would stop pointless lawsuits. Golden says lawsuits that are filed under the ADA are not about money.
If this bill passed, it would be very, very damaging for the civil rights of people with disabilities. It would mean businesses had no incentive to comply voluntarily with the law. Businesses could just take a wait-and-see attitude.
Golden says the legislation complicates the complaint process and unnecessarily lengthens the time it takes a business to come into a compliance.
Kentucky lawmakers are being asked to eliminate potential chaos, confusion, and expense surrounding plastic shopping bags and other containers. Senate Bill 82 preempts local governments from enacting rulings or taxes on plastic products, such as bags, cups, and bottles. Lee Lingo is the executive director of the Kentucky Association of Manufacturers. He says the bill would prevent an extra layer of regulation impacting manufacturers, retailers, and consumers.
State-level regulatory certainty for retail containers will limit the chaos a patchwork of local regulations would create, not only for shoppers and grocery stores, but retailers and manufacturers as well. There are significant costs for such disruption when economies of scale are threatened.
If the bill becomes law, Kentucky would join a dozen states with similar policies, including Indiana and Missouri.
The U.S. Senate's top two leaders are touting the recently passed budget deal as an example of working bipartisanship. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer shared a stage with Majority Leader Mitch McConnell in Louisville today.
Now, Mitch and I don't agree on a lot of things. As you just heard, I'm sure he'll never agree that New York bourbon even counts as bourbon. But when we need to come together to solve our country's problems and most pressing issues, we can and do successfully work together.
Schumer says he hopes the show of bipartisanship leads to immigration reform.
Members of the Rouen Fiscal Court will hold a special meeting Tuesday to discuss some needed upgrades to the county's new detention center before it opens soon. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the construction manager for the $18 million project has requested the gathering be held.
And I think they finally got some numbers on what it's going to cost to add railings to the top bunks and add ladders so that inmates can get up and down to the top bunk. And we were aware of this, but they didn't have the pricing on it, so we're trying to move on that. Rather than waiting a week, we're going to go ahead and just try to do it tomorrow.
Blevins isn't sure how much the railings and ladders will cost, but thinks the price tag will be in the tens of thousands of dollars. Members of the court will also discuss other additions to the project, such as changing the casework for the jailer's fingerprinting machine. Rouen's new jail is expected to open in early April.
The Boyd County Fiscal Court has received a grant to help fund the building of a new road to a local ATV park. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
According to the Daily Independent, the Fiscal Court accepted the grant last week. It'll go toward the construction of a new path to the 7,000-acre ATV park Rush Off-Road. The $60,000 grant will be used to pay for an environmental impact study and the project's engineering work. The county will be required to contribute $12,000, or 20% of the grant, to the effort, which has been okayed by both the ATV park's ownership and the residents who live on the main route to the park. Boyd County Economic Development Director Nikki Smith says the county plans to pave an alternate route to the park atop an old coal haul road and will seek additional funding for the project via abandoned mine land grants. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Community Hospice in Ashland has released a schedule of grief counseling sessions throughout the months of February and March. Rachel Swindler is a bereavement counselor with Community Hospice and says sessions aren't only for those grieving the loss of a loved one.
Anybody in our community that has experienced a loss of any kind, and whenever we think of loss, we initially think of a death, which, you know, that is our specialty, but people grieve a lot of different things. They can call, and I'll set up an appointment with them. I go to people's homes. I do home visits. They can come to my office.
There will be various sessions in Catlettsburg, Louisa, Sandy Hook, and Ashland. Anyone with questions or seeking information regarding grief counseling can contact Community Hospice at 606-329-1890.
A Lewis County native has received a prestigious art award. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Roger Wilford Cooper was presented the 2017 Governor's Award in the Arts, called the Artist Award, at an invitation-only ceremony at the Governor's Mansion in Frankfort. The fiddler first started his career playing guitar behind Joe Stamper on Vansburg's WKKS radio system when he was just 12 years old. Cooper was taught by the late Buddy Thomas, a Lewis County native and legendary old-time fiddle player. Cooper has served as a musical ambassador for Kentucky by playing at the 2010 World Equestrian Games at the Kentucky Horse Park. He tries to keep the old-time fiddle music alive in honor of his teacher. He has a unique sound, mostly inspired by musicians such as Buddy Thomas, Bob Prater, Morris Allen, Jimmy Wheeler, and George Hawkins. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, some clouds this evening will give way to mainly clear skies overnight, lows around 27. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy with highs around 50 degrees. Tomorrow night, foggy with periods of light rain after midnight, lows around 44. That chance of rain is 70%. And on Wednesday, overcast with rain showers at times, highs near 60, and that chance of rain is still at 70%. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 40 degrees, and Ashland, 43 degrees, Winchester, 39, Inez, 37, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 42 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Attorney General Andy Beshear and AARP Kentucky and partners launched a project last week as part of a scam alerts initiative. WMKY's Kinsey Thompson has the story.
The mission's Veterans Protected Initiative is designed to reduce the number of veterans, active duty service members, and reservists from being scammed by con artists. AARP came out with a study which says veterans are more likely to fall for certain scams than non-veterans. Beshear says it's because these criminals know no bounds.
The scams that they target our veterans with are infuriating. They are scams about helping other veterans or benefits that they claim the veterans are entitled to.
He says these scammers know they can try to take advantage of them because a veteran always wants to help another veteran.
These scam charities that claim to be providing services to veterans intentionally target seniors who serve.
Scammers con these veterans because any additional benefits that may or may not be out there could be vital to the lives of seniors, and they know that, according to Beshear. His office and AARP Kentucky are working with more than 30 partners to create a statewide outreach campaign. They have teamed up with multiple veterans groups to reach their members directly.
Those are groups like the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, all different types of veterans groups here in Kentucky. And when we did this launch, we were all there together, united in the mission. And it truly is a mission to protect every single veteran that's out there in Kentucky.
For the Scam Alerts program in general, Beshear says over the last 2 years, they have built up a list of over 150 partners to ensure protection.
I believe that we can do that. With these programs, with our direct text, direct email, Scam Alerts, working with veterans groups, I think that we can make Kentucky veterans the most protected veterans in the country from these types of scams, and I believe it's our duty to make that happen.
For more information, veterans and military families can visit the mission's website. It offers critical information on how to identify the 10 most common veteran-specific scams, how to avoid being a scam victim, and who to call for help. Beshear urges all veterans and seniors to sign up for his office's scam alerts online at ag.ky.gov/scams. For WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
It's 447 and 42 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
Kennedy steps down. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Ole Miss basketball program will be looking for a new head coach this summer. CBS Sports is reporting that Andy Kennedy is stepping down as head coach of the Rebels. He is in the middle of his 12th season at Ole Miss. The Rebels have just 3 victories in their last 12 games, including a current 5-game losing streak. Kennedy is 245-154 in his Ole Miss career, making him the winningest coach in school history. Kennedy will reportedly finish out this season with Ole Miss. The Morehead State basketball program might be reflecting on what might have been this year in the OVC. Just 2-12 in conference, 8 of MSU's league defeats have come by 6 points or less, including last Saturday's 75-72 loss at Eastern Kentucky. Sophomore guard Jordan Walker says his seniorless team has tried to come away with something from each of those tough defeats.
Well, we take L's. We take learning experience. We don't take losses. Everything we do is for a learning experience. We play to a standard, too. So we don't play to a win or a loss. We play to a standard.
The Eagles visit Tennessee State on Thursday. The Tigers beat MSU last month at Johnson Arena 61-58. Despite his team's 3-game losing streak, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari says he won't panic. Calipari is reminding Wildcat fans that he has an extremely young team that's still trying to figure things out, and he's been through this stuff before.
I'm not cracking. This doesn't faze me. I'm not mad at them. They're young. I'm not frustrated. I get tired. You know, now I'm not 35 anymore. I'm 46, but I get tired, but I'm not. I just got to help them figure it out. I feel bad for individual players when they play the way they did, but we're back at work.
At 17-8 overall and 6-6 in the SEC after Saturday's loss at A&M, UK is beginning preparation for Wednesday's game at Auburn. There's a new number one in this week's college basketball AP Top 25 poll. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has more on that.
In a week that saw the top three teams in the country all lose, Virginia took over the top spot from Villanova despite losing at home to unranked Virginia Tech on Saturday. This is the first time the Cavaliers have been ranked number one since 1982. Michigan State comes in at 2, while Villanova's home loss to St. John's dropped them to 3. Crosstown rivals Xavier and Cincinnati come in at 4 and 5. After losses to Tennessee and Texas A&M, Kentucky fell out of the AP Top 25 for the second time this season. Also from the SEC, Auburn fell to 10th. Tennessee checks in at 18, and Texas A&M jumped back into the polls, coming in at 21. Louisville received votes but did not make the top 25. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Round County girls basketball team is on the road this evening to take on Nicholas County. The Lady Vikings finished off a perfect 6-0 season in district play last Friday with a win over Fleming County. Head coach Ed Jones says his team is feeling good heading into the district tournament next week.
The way our district is set up, we feel pretty confident at going into tournament time. I mean, we don't know if seeding is going to play a big, big role in our district tournament this year. We feel good. We just want to keep improving every game.
Round is 16-8 on the year, while Nicholas is 20-7. 5 days out from his team season opener, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire believes the Eagles should have plenty of pitching depth in 2018. Some new arms that have joined the club have McGuire excited.
Pleased with, how Grant Crosby, David Looney, both thrown the ball for us. They're going to be shot in the arm, JUCO arms, Garrett Rogers, TJ Satterley, same way. Two freshmen, John Sherman and Will Lozenak, are both going to contribute on the mound. You got bright futures ahead of them.
The baseball Eagles started the season against UMass Lowell on Friday in a tournament down in South Carolina. MSU was picked Friday to finish second behind Tennessee Tech this season in this year's OVC race. With pitchers and catchers reporting to their spring training base in Goodyear, Arizona tomorrow, the Cincinnati Reds will start preparing for the 2018 season. MLB Reds beat reporter Mark Sheldon says the team will open camp with an everyday lineup pretty well set.
Obviously, the catchers is going to be flip-flop this year. Tucker Barnhart's going to be the primary guy, and Mesoraco's going to be the backup, assuming he can come back from injury. You know that Joey Votto's at first base and Scooter Jeanette's at second base. It's going to be Jose Peraz at short and Eugenio Suarez at third. You got four outfielders really toggling among three positions in Duvall, Winker, Shebler, and Billy Hamilton.
Who the Reds reportedly had been looking to trade in the offseason but couldn't find a deal. The Morehead State softball team is off to a 3-1 start this season. The Eagles picked up 2 wins over Central Michigan and another over Buffalo while losing to Appalachian State over the weekend at the Mercer Invitational down in Georgia. Coach David Williams thinks it was really key for his team to come out strong in the season's first weekend.
Some really quality wins, 2 wins over Central Michigan, who was 55th in the country last year in RPI. So that's really, really good win for us. I mean, they were in the top 6th in the country, so... For us to get 2 quality wins like that, but also swing the bats as well as we did, we received some good pitching performances. So, really pleased with that. I think that sets the tone for us.
MSU returns to action this weekend at the Fairfield Inn and Suites Invitational in North Carolina. The Eagles will face Bucknell, Northern Kentucky, James Madison, and Campbell. Finally in sports, a look in at the Olympics. Norway still leads the medal count with 9 total. Germany, Netherlands, and Canada all check in with 7. The United States is 5th on the list, coming in with 4 medals, including 2 golds. At sports for WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle basketball will close out their regular season home schedule, hosting UT Martin on February 22nd and Eastern Kentucky on February 24th. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose as the major indices rebounded from their worst weekly performance in 2 years, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 410.37. at 24,601.27. The S&P 500 index was up 36.45 at 26.56, and the NASDAQ composite was up 107.47 at 6981.96. Materials and information technology were the best performing sectors, and shares of Amazon, Bank of America, and Apple, which fell sharply last week, all rose by at least 2.5%. And of course, last week marked the worst market week in quite a while, with the Dow and S&P 500 both pulling back 5.2%. And this was actually their worst weekly decline since January 2016. And of course, the NASDAQ was down 5.1% last week, and that was its worst one-week pullback since February 2016. And the indices also all dipped into correction territory briefly. Investors have been on edge as of late over concerns surrounding higher interest rates, and moves in the bond market continue to be of key importance going forward. The benchmark 10-year U.S. note yield rose to a four-year high today before trading at or settling at 2.86%. And the latest move higher follows news that the White House will unveil a long-awaited infrastructure plan that includes $200 billion in federal infrastructure spending over 10 years. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.25% at $59.35 a barrel. Gold was up 0.625% at $1,324.30 an ounce. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was up 1.2%. In Asia, stocks were mixed as the Nikkei was down 2.3% and the Shanghai Composite was up 0.75%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Apple and Dow DuPont. The worst performers were GE and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CSRA and Alexion Pharmaceuticals, and the worst performers were Ulta Beauty and Dollar General. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 48 cents at 70.25, CSX up 227 at 53.16, AEP up 8 cents at 64.80, AK Steel up 26 cents at 4.76, Marathon Petroleum up 96 cents at 64.80, and U.S. Bancorp is up 20 cents, finishing at 53.95. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast, some clouds this evening will give way to mainly clear skies overnight, lows around 27 degrees. On Tuesday, mainly cloudy, highs near 50. Tuesday night, foggy with periods of light rain after midnight, lows around 44. And on Wednesday, overcast with rain showers at times, highs near 60. That chance of rain is at 70%. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 40 degrees, in Ashland, 43 degrees. Winchester 39, Inez 37, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 42 degrees.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Claypool Young Art Gallery at Moorhead State University presents the 2018 Sophomore Art and Design Exhibition through February 21st. The show is an opportunity for MSU Department of Art and Design students to exhibit their artwork in a professional setting at the midpoint of their college career. The exhibit is free and open to the public.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra presents the Kentucky Bank Ben Malfris Family Fun Concert at 3 p.m. on Sunday, February 25th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Tickets are $15 for adults, free to MSU students, and children ages 17 and under.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, Peyton Stewart, Logan Pemberton, Tilden Johnson, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons, Bud Luke chipped in, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Kenzie Thompson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.